Hey, Bert. Great meeting you, man. No, great show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Will you
so
do
much.
Me a solid and just say, I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast?
Sure. You ready?
I'm ready right
ready
now.
Ready right now? I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Thank you, man.
Wait, one more.
All right. Yeah, take two.
Where's the eye camera thing? Right here?
I just got this.
I'm Bert Kreischer. I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
I bought a book, too. So.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
That was great.
Hi. My name's Robert Love, and I'm here to talk to you about movies. More importantly, I'm here to talk to you about a film that isn't just bad, it's downright irresponsible. By their very nature and the way they are written and edited, movies are manipulative, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. They can be entertaining, meaningful, and very moving. But this year's The Fault in Our Stars, based on a book by John Green and grossing $124 million, is cheap, cloying, and deceptive in the worst ways imaginable. It takes two cancer-stricken characters and uses their terminal illnesses to make you feel for them rather than relate. In fact, Shailene Woodley's protagonist, Hazel, is only defined by her illness. There are no other facets to her personality. Her dreamboat love interest, Gus, is slightly better defined, but lives as a cliché, constantly putting a cigarette in his mouth but not lighting it because he wants to take away the power of that which could destroy him. It's irksome, to say the least. However, one of the film's biggest transgressions takes place late in the movie when, in an act of anger because something didn't go her way, Hazel, a woman with lung cancer and constantly lugging around an oxygen tank, decides to ascend multiple floors of a very tall building just to prove that she can. After conquering this difficult quest, she shares a romantic kiss with her beau, and it's quite the romantic moment. She's genuinely achieved something, but it's driven more out of anger than anything else. It's a moment that could have easily killed her, and where would that leave her poor parents, mourning the loss of their defiant, naive daughter? While trying to avoid spoilers, I've neglected to mention the location of this scene, but it's quite the inappropriate place to share such a romantic moment. Filled with cloying, surface-level characterization, the film too tightly wraps itself in sentimentality with nothing to say, and as 2014 is coming to a close, The Fault in Our Stars goes down as one of the worst films of the year.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. Oh my gosh. I don't know what episode this is. I looked today and it has been 21 days since the last Homemade Broadcast. I don't know where to even start again. I feel like I'm starting over. I tried to do a 30-second promo for the open mic that's taking place this Tuesday, and I'm just a mumbled mouth ass. It took me 18 takes to do a 30-second spot. But it's good to be back. I hope you all are doing okay. How was your Thanksgiving? You can't hear me. You can't answer. I'm still full. I don't feel well. But here we are, and it is Thursday night, and it is the, what's today's date? The 4th, December 4th. Wow. I can't believe it. Jennifer Trumbull is here with me. Jen is back. You can talk now.
Hello.
I turned your microphone on. You do the same thing every time. It's adorable.
Every time. I'm not comfortable at all.
Why not? It's just you and I talking right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. My nose is on a microphone.
That's the way it's got to be. You know, honestly, you're the one of the few people that knows how to talk on a microphone.
You taught me.
I did. You just got to shove your nose right in there. Shove it right in your mouth.
Yeah.
And like it.
Like a burrito.
Oh, I wish. I wish.
Am I allowed to talk about that promo for
Sure,
the
that was
Stars?
Before you do, let me just say that was my buddy Rob Love. Rob is I love Rob. He's hilarious. He's maybe the only person that's more cynical than I am, and he's got a hell of a vocabulary. I don't know what coin means, I got to be honest with you. I have no idea.
Thinking the same word.
It might have been too smart for over the head of this audience. I don't know. Well, what does that mean, Jennifer? What does "going" mean?
Where's my phone?
You don't know either? Let me look it up.
Yeah, look it up. But while you're looking that up, can I just say The reason why I went to the Anne Frank house, the place where she goes up all them stairs and exasperates herself. Yeah, that's the Anne Frank house in Amsterdam. I had no idea it was in Amsterdam. Right? I mean, because like the first thing you think about Amsterdam, it's like pot cookies, bikes, tulips.
White people.
White, very, very white, gorgeous, tall, white people. Very Aryan. But the last thing you think about is the Holocaust and that Anne Frank hid there. And so I don't think it's trite. I think it's like it's there's very much a parallel made there between Anne Frank and this cancer patient. I don't think it's cloying.
I don't even know. I can't. I, apparently, I don't know how to spell it, or I'm too dumb.
It's
because
C-L-O-Y.
C-L-O-Y.
Y. I-N-G. Cloying, right?
I don't know.
Oh, God, I'm going to sound like an idiot.
Disgust or sicken someone with excess of sweetness. Okay. Cloy. Cloy.
Sure.
C-L-O-Y. Sure. Okay.
And I respect his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, it's probably not for men of a certain age.
People with male genitalia.
Probably not. Unless they're, like, under 18. You know? It's yeah. It is a young adult book. And it is a movie for young adults. And, but I think the sentiment's there. I don't think it's sappy. But, I mean, but that's me. I love a romantic comedy. I love kids dying. So that's just me.
I just like kids dying. I don't really like the romantic comedy. I just like kids to die.
But seriously, I had no idea the Anne Frank house was in Amsterdam, if not for that book and the movie. I just wouldn't have known.
It seems like that there are a lot of kids books or like teenage books
sure.
that are being made into movies that are like blockbusters. Like Harry Potter, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they're like PG or like PG-13, well, there you go. They can go to these movies, these kids, you know, under 18 without a parent.
Yeah, but people like, you know, our age in their 30s and, mm-hmm. you know, even 40s, 50s, you know, everybody loves Harry Potter. I've never seen Harry Potter.
I've read the books and I've watched all the movies. I love it. I just think it's great. Because also, like, this person who wrote the book, J.K. Rowling, she has a very... she is educated in literature, so you kind of can see, like, these kind of touchstones. And maybe it's thought of as derivative and, you know, childish. But I kind of appreciate someone who takes, like, an interpretation of everything we've learned in these survey English classes and making something palatable. I don't know. Maybe that's just the nerd in me. I don't know.
I'm just curious as to how they became, you know, a teenage range of age into a universal type of audience, you know, if they're directed at right. at how did people our age even find these books and were like, oh, I'm gonna read this, even though it's directed to a younger audience.
I'm not sure, but I'd imagine like when it started, you know, Harry Potter started at like 11 or 12 and it goes to when he's like 16 or 17 years old, so it kind of follows him through those kind of formative years. And it's like Romeo and Juliet is also about very young people too. And a lot of people still read that and still love that. So how is it popular? I don't know. Maybe it's just like they read their kids' books or they're reading it to them and that another generation got a hold of it.
Yeah.
Dan Radcliffe. I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah. I'm just curious because I don't really know. I don't know how even, I guess, books are marketed or something. Like I kind of will pick up a book occasionally. Unfortunately, most of my reading comes from online and I don't really read. Gosh, I always get nonfiction and fiction mixed up. Fiction is not real. I always get, I don't really read fiction that often.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Ever.
I think a lot of men that I've met don't.
Really?
A lot of women I've met have. Or memoirs.
Have or do.
They do. They do. And like, have and do, both. Like, also, I like memoirs as well. So memoirs, I know a lot of guys, I don't know.
No, I like
that. Do you like memoirs?
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy just, like, people are fascinating to me
mm-hmm.
In general. So it's nice to hear what other people, what their perception is.
Because
sure. everyone's got their own kind of thing going on there.
Yeah, I read Wild, which it's about a woman, Cheryl Strayed, who walked from the Mojave Desert on the PCT Trail, which is this Pacific Crest Trail. All the way to the border of Oregon and Washington, to the Bridge of the Gods. And it was over 1,000 miles that she hiked. And she had gone camping and had done some trails, but not to that degree. Not spending like 3 months walking. She had no idea how to even like pack for it.
I wonder what came first. Did the book come first or did the travels come first? As far as
the travel.
Meaning, like, maybe she was like interested in writing or was, you know, doing, writing loose, you know, stuff in a notebook. And then she wanted to write a book. She's like, I got nothing to write about. So I'll just, you know what I'll do? I'll go hike.
No,
you know,
it wasn't like that. She was always, she would write like short stories. And she did this in 1995. She didn't write the book until 2010, I want to say. I think 2012 it came out. I could be wrong, but probably am. But I picked it up in a Seattle bookstore. And it was just sitting right there, and it was right next to, like, Into the Wild and Letters between Van Gogh and his brother Theo. So I'm like, I'll just pick all these up, even though I had no room to, like, pick up these books and to travel with. I made room because I felt that I had to buy them because I was so drawn to these kind of stories, you know, and it was great. I loved it. I would stay up nights reading it. I would read it in pubs. I was taking these books everywhere with me in Seattle. So it just made me feel like I could hike too, even though I have no aptitude for such things.
Yeah, you ever hear of a Kindle, Jen?
I bought one for my mom, but I'm like, no, I read books.
Yeah.
Well, what a fool I am.
There's something, I don't think I could do a Kindle. To me, that just seems bizarre. Like, it's hard for me to even read on my cell phone, and the Kindle, like, my cell phone's humongous, so it's just slightly larger than that. I can't read on this thing.
Yeah, I downloaded some ebooks on my computer for my travels. The Diary of Anne Frank and This is Embarrassing. But women that I told I have read this book, they're like, I love that book. Eat, Pray, Love. Okay.
What do you do first? Eat, pray, or love?
Eat first.
Definitely.
Eat first, yeah. And then you go to some whack place.
A lot of people would say pray, love, eat.
They
right?
can. They can.
Or maybe love, pray, that you don't have an STD.
Right.
And then when you don't, you celebrate and have yourself a turkey leg.
Yeah. Well, this lady, you know...
No, nothing?
No.
Just bombed.
Yeah. Turkey leg. This lady, on her, she was going through a bad divorce. But the other thing is, like, she got, like, $100,000 to write this book and to travel for a year. How can I get a gig like that?
Jeez, I don't know. That would be a great job for sure.
Yeah, like I follow this girl on Facebook. She has a website. It's like World of Wonderlust, and she's from Australia. And she's like, I'm just gonna travel. Here's my and it's all these pretty pictures of her and all these like these floppy hats and these oversized sweaters and ankle boots. And I'm like, those aren't really great for walking around all these cobbled streets, but it's a beautiful. Beautiful photo. You look amazing doing it. You know, I don't know. She must have some capital behind her.
Maybe it's like how you carried books with you on your travels that she carried, you know, a nice sun hat that she could take a photo with, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I don't know. Well, Jen, you recently took, you've been to the show before. This is your second solo performance. You've also come on. You're just a pal of mine, really, more
yeah,
than anything.
Right.
I mean, you're a person who does things, but,
I do stuff,
you know, but... number one... You're just a pal of mine.
Yeah, we're both Sagittarians.
Yep. Happy birthday to you, by the way.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
30 years old now.
Yeah, big boy pants.
Yeah, I feel awful. They're much bigger. I've gained weight somehow. But yeah, I'm
still cutoffs.
I'm still defecating Thanksgiving dinner, I think.
Yeah, sure.
I ate a bunch of food.
Me too.
I'm just going to grab this real quick.
Sure. Get into it.
But you went to, you had an adventure recently. Mm-hmm. You're currently writing about it now. It's called Euro Stories, I believe you're calling it.
I'm calling it Euro Stories, yes.
Euro Stories. And you took an adventure from St. Petersburg or Tampa, and you took a flight into London.
Yes, correct.
And then you traveled all throughout Europe for 6 weeks?
5.5 weeks.
Yeah, just call it six.
Six
a little
weeks.
A round up.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I spent the remainder of my time in Portland and Seattle.
Mm-hmm. You have a blog that you chronicle all your tales on, which is, what is your address?
an address that I own. Booyah.
Boom.
cute but single for a reason .com.
No .net.
No.
Wow, this is real deal.
This is happening.
You know, whenever I see a .net address, I'm like, shh, no, I'm not going to go
there. I think of that 90s movie, The Net, with like Sandra Bullock. And she's like, oh, they know my identity. They know what cigarettes I smoke. Oh.
And now they're like, oh, it's just Facebook. Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Relax, Sandra. You're just on Sandra, whatever your name is.
Yeah, I don't know. Sandy?
Can I call you Sandy? I'd prefer if you didn't. Okay, Sandra.
Okay. You won an Oscar. So that's cool.
For Speed.
No, for like The Blind Side.
Oh, did you see that movie, The Blind Side?
No, my dad loves it. He loves when someone triumphs over adversity. You know movies found on Hallmark?
Yeah.
That's my dad's jam.
Is that station still around?
Yes, and there's like a movie station that just has the movies in HD.
Wow. I had no idea.
Well, I'm here to tell you.
It sounds riveting. I'm so glad I don't have cable.
Yeah.
It's exciting for me.
I didn't have a TV for most of my travels. And it was great. When I got back, guess what? All I do is catch up on all these stupid shows. I'm like, this is dumb. Now I got to take a nap. Like, that's like all I do. But yeah, so I took a trip. I went to London. And London, wow, not what I thought it was.
What do you mean as far as what?
I mean, it's a huge city. It's a big city. I know it's one of, like, the richest cities. You know, it's no joke. But I didn't realize that, like, I thought that the politeness was just so, was there in every single instance. I'm here to tell you it's not.
Yeah.
Service, garbage. Food, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't think the English were known for their food, though, at any point.
No, but there are so many.
Eat baked beans for breakfast. Get out of my face.
I didn't eat those beans. I didn't eat the beans. I said, no beans. No beans.
Did they look at you funny?
No, he didn't care.
Yeah,
I didn't think I was French, though. Like, this French guy owned a pub.
Yeah.
I was like, well, all right. But there's so many other kinds of foods there. I mean, there's, like, tons of nationalities and, you know, people, like, all over the place from different places. And the majority are white men in these tailored suits. I learned later that they're gay men.
Really?
For the most part.
How did you learn this?
This was one of my roommates. She's from China. She's working on her, I think it's her second master's degree. They call it postgraduate over there, in architecture. So she studied in Italia. And so she got into University of London studying architecture. And I'm like, yeah, the guys here are super hot. Just like my style, right? Like tall, lanky, white. Tailored suit, Oxford shoe, messenger bag, like, I'm into it. You know, sometimes sometimes glasses, sometimes not. And she's like, oh, those guys, they're probably gay. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, you know the guy with, like, the scruffy beard and, like, the mangly teeth? Yeah, those are the straight guys. I'm oh, God,
look
really?
Like me. It's just full of me's over there. Hey, Jen. You're like, ugh, I can only stand one of you.
That's all I got room for.
I wanted to get away from you. And yet, here we are once again.
I've only got room for one scruff in my life.
Scruff or scrub?
Both.
Yeah.
I heard TLC's Scrubs the other day, and I just cranked it up real loud.
You should. That's what you're supposed to do on those occasions.
And I hadn't heard the song in a very long time, so to hear it was a joy, and I really enjoyed every second of it.
What was your favorite part? Like, what's the favorite place you visit? Because you went up to England.
Mm-hmm.
Do they call it England over there?
It's England, yeah.
England, not the UK or Britain.
You can call it UK, Britain, but I was in England specifically.
What's the difference? London. What's the difference?
England
between...
is a country.
Okay, what's Britain?
Britain's also, it's like, Britain could. I guess it could also apply to the UK as well, but it's like there's Ireland, there's Wales, and there's Scotland, and that's the UK.
Okay.
But I guess, like, it's so passive-aggressive and weird that you don't really know what to say, so I just stick with English or England, London. Sometimes I say UK, but I don't say Britain. Sometimes I'll say British, though.
This is so confusing.
I know, but you know how offended they get because they don't know, just from looking at me, they don't know that I'm a tourist. which I know is kind of crazy, but like I really was able to fit into all the places I was in, because I kind of have like a not straight American look. I think I have like a mixture.
Yeah,
that's kind of passable.
I would agree with you. One of the things I saw that you were saying, oh hey, you know, you put up one of your the Euro stories, a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, hey, I quoted Will in this one, and you tagged me in the Facebook post. And I was like, and so I was like, oh, cool. So I clicked on it and started reading, you know, the first paragraph. And it was talking about how you know artists in real life and how you can actually connect with art as opposed to it being a something that's, I don't know, you're just separate from, that you witness as opposed to being part of. And I was like, oh, cool. She's going to mention like some philosophical thing that I've said, you know, maybe in passing. And then the quote was, hey, you kind of look like Anne Frank a little bit, which I remember saying, and you kind of do. It's true.
It's true.
Like, I think you could be her older sister, maybe.
Yeah.
Julie Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jennifer Frank.
Jennifer Frank. I was just trying to change your name a little bit. Maybe I should have just went with Jennifer.
Yeah.
Picked another J. Well. A buffoon.
But yeah, I do have kind of like a vaguely European look, I guess. I mean, and obviously being there, I didn't want to look a fool. So I kind of kept my mouth shut and kind of kept my ears open and just trying to do the best I could. Now, I didn't realize that I had broken some weird rules until I spoke with my my Chinese roommate, who this is her second year living in London. So she was just kind of giving me, I would tell her what happened during the day, and she would say, okay, well, let me tell you what you did wrong. Number one, you look English, so they don't know.
That you don't know.
That I don't know.
Yeah.
And they think when you're breaking the rule intentionally to be an a-hole.
Good catch, Jen. I'm proud of you.
You know I like to swear, so that was, I'm sweating. So I was like, oh, okay. So I guess what it is, and I wrote a poem about this, but it's like left, left, always left, unless right, then always right, right, right. So basically you always want to keep on the left side. Like the stairs, or I mean, the sidewalk's kind of a free for all. You just try to walk really fast because everyone walks super fast, and I walk fast in life for Florida, I guess, but not for England. I mean, I do not walk as fast. I mean, it is like a sprint because everyone's in a hurry. They're trying to get to a bus, to the tube stop. They're trying to get somewhere, and you're in their way because you're a body in the way. Basically. Mm-hmm. So if you're not, you know, like alert and ready to go, you're a tourist, basically.
Right.
Or a jerk.
Sometimes both.
Yeah. Like one girl was super passive aggressive to me on the tube. There was like a group of Asian students and they had all their backpacks and stuff. And I was next to them, and the carriage was full. It was a full carriage. And, they're trying to bust their way in. So I'm moving as much as I can, but I'm kind of trying to express to her with my face that this is all I can move. You can't see this on the radio, but I'm doing it now.
I can tell that that's what you mean. Yeah,
yeah,
your
like,
eyes are wide,
yeah,
wide
they're
open.
They're wide open.
Your eyebrows are up.
I'm squished between two people and their luggage. I got my bag over my boobs. I'm just like, all right. And this lady is like, she said something to her friend very passive aggressively about like, if you're not comfortable with the crowds on the tube, don't go during rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
She said it to her friend, and her friend looked at me and was like, that was mean. And they got off in exactly one stop. They could have walked. The metro stops are so close together. You can walk. You can go like three stops easily.
I can't do the crowd thing anymore at all. I went out for my friend Jim was like, hey, come out. Let me buy you a birthday drink. So I was like, okay.
Jim Brewer?
Yes, Jim Brewer, famous comedian. Yeah, he was in town. He's like, hey, come hang out. We went out and we went to Del Mar down here, which is okay. No, it's okay. It's an all right joint.
They have food there sometimes, right?
They have food all the time.
Even at night?
Yeah, definitely.
Cray.
Mm-hmm. So we went there, and then I guess they were out watching the Gator game. So they were having a lot of fun throughout the day. I was not. And they're like, we're going to go to, I don't know what it's called now, but it's this place that has the lights off, and it has neon flashing lights all over the place. And it's on that downtown block.
Oh, yeah. It's like it's a club.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. They're like, we're going to go in there. I was like, no. I'm
no,
just
thank
not
you.
I just can't do it.
Yeah.
even when I was younger, you know, when I could first 21, I hated those places even then, but I would do it. And now I'm just like, forget it. There's no way I'm going in there.
I found myself in a club in Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
Not good.
No. I'm not a club person, clearly.
Was it the same, like, kind of same atmosphere as in, like, just booming music, mm-hmm. flashing lights?
Yes.
Can't hear anything.
Correct.
It's all, I don't understand why people like that stuff.
I don't either.
I don't see the appeal. Like, I'd like to be able to speak to you and communicate at least, like, hey, I'd like to get out of here. And even if you do that in those places and you could scream it and they're like, yeah, let's do shots.
Nicki Minaj. I think that... I prefer like a dive bar. I prefer talking, you know, or like, I don't know, like silly dancing, I guess. Not a serious like bump and grind. Like I can't do a serious bump and grind. How do you do that?
You can.
Like I'm serious about this right now. My butt is shaking. I can't do that. But those things I couldn't find. I'm sure they exist. I could not find those places though. I was just stuck in a cardigan. In the club, and boy, was it uncomfortable. Let me tell you.
So it's the same things.
Same
atmosphere, just loud, mm-hmm. can't understand anything. Mm-hmm. And then even worse, when people are yelling at you, it's in a language that you don't understand.
Right. I mean, I understand Spanish, but, like, not enough to know, like, if it's gross or not, I guess. I mean, I guess you could tell.
You know you could tell? By the eyes. If you look them in the eyes. Don't say it all.
No, somebody told me like not to look directly into their eyes because that's how they disarm you. I think she was joking.
Who?
This girl I met in
Barcelona. You?
The guys.
No, you know how somebody disarms you?
How?
With their arms. or with their feet. They'll kick you in the head and that'll be it.
I'm looking at you in your eyes. I'm going into your purse. I don't know. But I managed not to get pickpocketed.
That's good.
Yeah. Or robbed or mugged or anything like that.
Yeah.
I had a few scary things that happened to me, but, you know, not in the club. But I heard the club, like, people do get pickpocketed. So that was a big thing they told our group, because I participated in, like, a stupid hostel thing.
This is in Spain?
Yeah, in Spain. Madrid.
Is that... Well, I guess here, I've never been, like, pickpocketed. But, mm-hmm. I mean, like, that was my fear. Like, I went to Chicago, and I was like, I just don't want to get my things stolen, because I have everything consolidated in my little pouch here, you know, I got my telephone, then I got my wallet, and it's like mm-hmm. a case, and it's nice. So if I lose my phone, I lose my wallet, and I got a nice expensive phone. So it's like concerning to me to a certain extent.
Right.
But I wonder, is it more rampant in Spain than it is would be, you know, in Chicago or St. Petersburg or American countries?
I think you can get pickpocketed anywhere, but I think the big thing is in... those kind of countries. And Paris is also like I think it's the number one spot for pickpocketing. There's so many tourists that people look like idiots and it's obvious that you're a tourist. And so you're just a sitting duck. And then you can all day long. Yeah. I got my fanny pack. I got my whatever. You're trying to protect your goods. Like when you're wearing a fanny pack, you're a target.
Dude, fanny packs would be perfect for not getting pickpocketed. You put them right near your spot.
These people are professionals.
I don't know. It seems like that would be the perfect thing to get pickpocketed.
These people are professionals. They will pickpocket. One guy I met in Barcelona, he was working on a movie, actually, an independent film. And he was on the metro. And he was looking at directions or something on his phone. 1 second. And then something caught his attention. That's how they get you. Someone will start an argument or someone will start playing like an instrument. And because there's all I mean, like in Paris and in Spain, they do it a lot. They have somebody jump on with an accordion like da, 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 and you get like so people are looking at them. So I guess it caught him off guard and his phone was taken right out of his hand. So he had to go to the Apple store and get a new one.
It was taken out of his hand while he was using it.
Yes.
No, and he did not see the person who took it, like, he had his hand open, and he looked down, and he had his hand open like he was holding his phone.
Yeah, and it was still open.
Wow. Where's Houdini from? Is he from France?
I think he's English.
English?
I think so. But, Or it could be early American, I guess. Anyway, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Google that. But I will tell you that I've heard horror stories. Every walking group I ever went on, they're like, hold your stuff close. We're going to go to some very tight quarters. And I only went on walking tours in Spain because it was so nice out. It was really cold in Paris, and it was pretty cold in Amsterdam, so I didn't do that. But in Spain, it was so nice, and they're just like, hold your stuff in front of you.
I think they're doing that to be like, you know, Europe's got some rough spots. It's like, dude, I'm from St. Petersburg. I'm from the top, one of the top 10 dangerous cities in America.
That's true.
Come on now.
I did well, but here's what. Like, I don't leave my phone and my wallet on a table. I saw people. Like, once someone points it out to you one time, that's all it takes. And you know, I saw children. Oh, lady, look at this paper. And while they're distracting you with this paper, they're taking your wallet or your phone, whatever is on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it happen in the middle of a Starbucks. Like, some lady's phone was stolen right next to me.
There's a Starbucks in...
Madrid. Many. There's a couple.
Really?
Yeah, it's right across from the Prado.
What's the Prado?
The Prado is a museum.
Oh.
A huge museum. It's like their Louvre, basically. Mm.
See, I'm an artist, and this is how disconnected I am with anything else.
It's all right. It has, like, Velázquez, Goya, El Greco.
Okay.
You're nodding your head like you... You're nodding your head, but...
I know those people, sure.
Yeah,
I've heard
you're
of
nodding
them.
Your head.
Yeah.
Los Mimenas is there? Famous painting.
That's the one with him in the mirror, or is it the mirror, or is it the window?
No, it's a little girl, like a little princess, and all her ladies in waiting, and there's, like, a dwarf.
Right. But isn't there... Yeah, I know what you're talking
She's
about.
She's also in a mirror, too. Yeah, there's another one. It's
and
the same girl.
And he's poking out from the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that one, Jen.
Los Mimenas.
Yeah, I didn't know that's what it was called, but...
Well, also, if you go to the Dali Museum, you will see Picasso and Dali's take on Los Mimenas.
Really?
Worth a look.
Wow.
Worth a look.
Yeah, I'm going to get there. I think it's... What does it run till? February there?
Yeah, something like that. I think so.
That's plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Yeah, but knowing you... Did you... You went to Andy Warhol, though.
I did, yeah.
Okay. Because I know people who I told, like, go to Andy Warhol, and they didn't. And they even extended it a month, and they still didn't go. I'm like,
which they'll probably
do
with Picasso. Well, I don't know. Maybe with Picasso they won't. I don't know. I don't know where they have to return these paintings to.
Barcelona.
Where's that?
There's a Picasso museum in Barcelona, and that's where most of them are from. I saw them when I was in Barcelona. So I got here. I'm like, oh, look, I saw this one.
I know this. I've heard of this.
I saw this.
I'm worldly. Worldly.
I saw it. Worldly.
Worldly.
You can't take any photos in the Picasso Museum.
That's interesting that you say that, because when I was in Chicago a couple weeks ago, I went to the Art Institute, and I was shocked how much access they give you to these works. You could, like, stick your head inside of them, basically.
Kind of.
I kind of made the mistake of looking into a Rauschenberg, and it had the... it was, you know, a painting, but it kind of had, like, cabinet doors on it, and they had them open at a 45-degree angle. Yeah. So you kind of had to, you know, turn your head and to see what was in there,
right?
And which was the point of the damn painting, you know, so you had to do that.
I saw one at the Tate Modern. Rauschenberg?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw one, and I was like, this is weird.
It was, yeah. Rauschenberg is like a influential. He's like the big American artist, like one of the first. He's the guy who erased the de Kooning.
What's the de Kooning?
De Kooning. He was like a admirer of de Kooning, and de Kooning gave him a piece, and he erased it and then put it up in his show, and everyone was like really upset with him. But that was like, that's what art's about, man. You're
that's
supposed
so
to
punk,
get a reaction.
It's just like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, so he had one of those, and I was, this was in the Art Institute, so they had this little tiny tripwire that was, like, out in front, maybe a foot out in front of the piece.
Right.
So I'm kind of looking, and I stick my head in, and all of a sudden you hear, boop, and I'm like, oh, my phone, and
oh, I got a text.
There's just some lady, like, looking at me, and I'm like, kind of turned towards her, and she's like, you can't get that close, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, like, I was like, please don't kick me out. She was just like, oh, it's cool. Like, she was totally fine with, I don't know, it seemed bizarre to me to be okay with that. But yeah, I don't know.
It's an institute? I don't know. We're all learning
you
here.
You could take pictures there. Like, we got a bunch of cool pictures out in front of these really famous works. And, like, I like that. And it was like, there's no way you're going to sell. Like, I know that the megapixels on the new phones are, like, pretty high and everything. But what are you going to do? Take a picture and sell it? Like, it's just for you. I mean, right. And even here in St. Pete, like, I got yelled at one time. One of my friend Brian's favorite things is we were doing Free Museum Day.
Yeah, I've been.
And we were walking through the Museum of Fine Arts. And I had my phone. I wasn't taking pictures or nothing. I was texting somebody. Right. And it was like it was just something inside of me that popped out. Like a lady couldn't speak English. She's like, "So you cannot take pictures in the? Can you put your phone away?" And I just like I was barely listening to her. I was finishing up my text, and I just looked up and went, "Yeah." And then just like you know, closed my phone and put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
But I mean, it. I don't know. It's just silly. Like I don't understand. But that's what I really liked about that museum is it was huge. Mm-hmm. It had a bunch of really famous pieces that, like, I saw American Gothic, which is boring to me. But yeah. It was still nice to see in person, yeah. Just to say that I saw it.
I saw Whistler's mother.
Yeah.
Whistler's mother.
Yeah.
Whistler's. I can't say
Whistler's,
it.
Whistler's. I think.
I saw that bitch.
It's his mom. Oh. That's okay. You can say bitch. I think okay. It's okay.
All right. I saw that lady.
She was just sitting in her rocking chair.
Sitting in a rocking chair. Just
rocking
just,
back
just,
and
just
forth.
Just chilling in this little tiny room where no one else was. That's what I love about these huge museums is like, you just wander around. You're like, oh, how? It's like IKEA. One way in, one way out. Like, oh, how'd I get here? Where's the stuff? You got the map. Like, I can't understand this map. But you end up in like these crazy places.
Where's the Pizza Hut? Like some stuff
bathroom?
Plus pizza?
Bathroom. Cafe? Because you're there for so long. Like the cafe is good, though. You, like, stop, get a cappuccino.
Mm-hmm. We did that at the Art Institute. I got some chai tea.
Yeah, or get a chai tea, mm-hmm. Whatever, a drip coffee, whatever you want.
Sure.
I was looking at the mummies in the British Museum, which, of course, it's just, like, they stole stuff from everywhere. Like, hey, look at all the stuff we stole, and we're not giving back.
They weren't doing nothing with it.
Yeah.
What are they doing with it?
We'll take it.
Leaving the dead in their burial ground.
Whatever.
Yank them out of there.
Dig them up. So I was looking at all these mummies, and there's tons of people there. It was so gross. Because it's free. Like, in London, which really cool, is most of the museums are free. Mm-hmm. So they're always packed, pretty much. And so there's no AC. No AC.
Why?
I don't know, because
it's
normally
an old
cold.
Building. And
it's normally
have...
cold, I guess.
Oh.
So, like, they'll have fans. Uh-huh. Like, just like a stand-up fan you get at Target for, like, $20. They'll have those in rooms. I'm like, you got Beowulf's, like, armory over here. Like, you know, it's when you see the poem, it's usually this specific armory.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like, you have that, and you have a fan? Like, I don't understand. Like, put some AC in this.
This is a fan from Big Lots. It was $9.95.
From Sainsbury's or whatever.
Hey,
gosh.
If we're lucky, hopefully that will be a an artifact that we can say from our times. That's what we had.
A fan?
A fan, yeah. Ugh. If we're lucky, a fan cool. Will sneak by.
Real cool. So anyway, I found my way to this room with all this glass and stuff. And I guess glass, you got to have some AC in there because it was a lot cooler. I don't know if it was cooler because there was less people there or because there was actually some air circulating in the room.
Yeah, nobody cares about glass.
No one cares about glass. But guess what I found? Napoleon Bonaparte's death mask.
Glass mask.
No, it wasn't glass. That was plaster, but it was with all this glass stuff. It was just sitting there chilling randomly, like, what the heck? I would have never found that otherwise.
Tell me what that is, because I have no idea.
It's a mold they make of their face when you die.
Oh, okay.
So it was
death mask, yes.
A death mask.
I could have pieced that together myself, but instead I'm like, eh. I'll just be lazy.
Like Al Capone has one, and like, oh, what's it? John Dillinger. There's a famous death mask.
Dillinger, one of my favorite gangsters of all time.
Yeah, there's a death mask.
Is that something that transcended, I don't know, Europe and brought its way over, or was that something they brought from Europe?
That seems like something that's been done for a long time, because like, and I can't remember, because I actually looked it up, so I was like, I wonder why. Especially famous people, and so other people could see it, his death mask. Like, that was a thing to look at. Like, people would wait to see a death mask.
I forgot to mention, too, that if you're just joining us, we're sitting down with Jennifer Trumbull. Now the show's almost over. Getting
it's
back
almost
into
over?
It. Yeah, I know. It goes really fast.
Oh, my God.
We got...
not much more.
A few minutes left.
That's it?
5 minutes, yeah.
I barely talked about anything. Like,
Let's talk. Substance. Let's talk about your writing in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. So I decided to write essays about what I experienced. I couldn't write it while I was there. I had to digest it. I had to get home. I had to figure out what it all meant. I took lots of notes. I took pages and pages of notes every day. I took photos. I just wanted to get to a point where I could make sense of it, you know? And also, when I left, I didn't really tell many people that I left. And no one really asked me. That was another thing. No one really said, hey, what's going on? No one said that. So it's just like, all right, I can do whatever I want. So that's what I'm doing. I'm just writing essays, and I've got some fiction, too, that I'm working on. And but the essays, I feel like I got to get out. So there's probably going to be like 3 or 4 more. There's 10 right now. It's called Euro Stories. It's about my adventures. I'm starting backwards because I can't do anything in the right order because that would be weird and organized. So I'm starting backwards from my journey and talking about what I've been through, what I found, what was hard, what was easy. What was great? What was kind of not great? Eating alone in Spain? Not great.
Mm.
You got to have friends in Spain. But, yeah, so I got a few more in me for Euro Stories, and it's at keepasingleforareason.com. So if you've got some time, a lunch break, or during work, who cares about work anyway? You know, just read them, because they're fun, and they're funny, and kind of sad, and kind of great, and I love them.
I've admittedly read maybe 3 of them.
Only 3?
Yeah, I know. I'm a bad friend. I know. But like I told you, I don't read that much, and that's, you know, probably part of my problem in life in general.
Okay, but can you just be my friend and read? Can you be my friend and read all 10 man. Stories? It's only 10,000 words. It's not
holy
too,
moly.
It's not crazy. It's not crazy.
No, I know that is not outrageous. I will read them. Yes. But, you know, I should set you up with I. Lee Coleman, because he self-published his own tale. Mm. No?
I'm just going to get it out there and see what happens.
Okay. Because I just feel like, you know, maybe, you know, he's an author, too, and he's had some success.
Sure. And I'm sure he's a lovely person. But for right now, I feel like this is what I need to do. And I feel pretty secure in that. Like, I'm just going to write on my blog. I'm just going to, like, just do this blog thing.
Yeah.
And just see what happens.
I hear you.
You know, I got some other things I'm working on.
What's your plan? Like, do you have a plan yet? Or are you just kind of just like, I'm going to get this out and then God. I'll figure it out as I go along?
Yeah, I'm just figuring it out as I go along because that's how I did my European trip. And that's how I can't plan. Like, you can plan all you want, but life gets in the way.
Sure.
And you can
I think
tell,
John Lennon said that. Life is what happens when you're
making other plans. Right. I'm just aping John Lennon at this point. You know, hey, Jude. Oh, wait. So I just want to try to make something and just, that's my voice and that's my work. And I also want to do, there's an art, thing I'm working on with all of my, train tickets, plane tickets, metro tickets. So there's other things I'm doing, cause this was a big deal to me. I guess it's not a big deal for most people, but it was for me, so I'm kind of making as much art as I can from it, and that's really all I'm planning for.
Okay, that's all you can do right now. Well, Jennifer,
hey,
thank
Jude,
you very much for coming
don't
on.
Make it bad.
I appreciate you.
Sure.
My first show back after I'm never taking 3 weeks off again.
You say that now.
Yeah, well, Christmas is coming up in the next 2 weeks. I'm taking the rest of the year off, but thank you all very much for listening. Check out facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. Check out keepasingleforareason.com. You can follow me on Twitter, home_made_man. What else, Jennifer?
I have an Instagram. It's jtrumbull, J-T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L underscore at Instagram.
All right. Check out our Instagram.
Good photos.
Yeah, you got some European photos on there and whatnot.
And a couple weaves.
Unicorns are real.
Unicorns are real.
Definitely. All right. Well, thank you very much. My name is Will Kuntz, and thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete and the Homemade Broadcast. Open mic number 6 is coming up this Tuesday, the 9th.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Jennifer will be there.
Yeah.
Maybe doing some jokes.
We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. All right, so open mic number 6 is at Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. I will talk to you soon. Goodbye.